Hi, everyone. You are on with John. It has been a minute since I've made a new episode. The last episode that I made was at the end of May. And so I just want to start this one by giving some life updates about myself. Not that anyone asked for it, but just an explanation for why it's been so long since I've made an episode. So at the end of May, anyone who has listened to any of my previous episodes knows that I am from Connecticut, born and raised in Connecticut. I still live in Connecticut. But around May 10th, I think it was, somewhere around there, May 15th maybe, Connecticut lifted the travel ban that we had. And so once our travel ban was lifted, I drove by myself to Virginia to see my best friend, and I stayed there with him for a while. And I was out of work from March until August 5th. I was out of work. So I used, you know, the first, you know, March, April, and half of May, I sat home like everyone else in quarantine. I hardly left my house to go anywhere. I went on the occasional run or just hung out outside with my family or whatever. And then once the travel ban was lifted in the middle of May for Connecticut, I went to Virginia and I stayed with my best friend for about a month there. And then I came back to Connecticut again, drove by myself. I didn't come into contact with anyone on the way. It was just me. I went right from my friend's house back to home. So just want to make that clear. And so I came home, I came back to Connecticut in the beginning of June, and I had about a month of just hanging out at home again. And then in the middle of July, I moved out and I got my own first apartment in Connecticut, so that was exciting. And that's why I haven't made a new episode in so long, because I've been so busy with being with my best friend for a while and then coming back to Connecticut and moving into my own place. And then I finally went back to work on August 5th. And so I've just been getting back into the swing of things and getting my life back together, or at least beginning to get my life back together during COVID times. And thankfully, I do live in Connecticut, where we are able to slowly get back to normal life. I know that in many states that's not the case, thanks to the failure of the current administration. But thankfully, in Connecticut, our governor has taken the necessary precautions to get us back on track, and I'm back at work, and that's good. I'm just very busy now, because I'm also starting grad school for broadcast journalism. So on top of having a full-time job, I'm doing that and just moved into my new place. So very busy, but very good. And it's very nice to start to get back to a normal life. So that's what's been happening with me. That's why I haven't made an episode in a long time. You know, I made that last episode in May, and then my life just kind of, a lot of changes happened within a short time. Changes for the better, but still, I was just busy. But now I'm back. I probably won't be making a new episode every week. I'm going to try maybe once a month. Or if there's something I really want to talk about, I'll hop back on and make an episode. But I think this will be more of a monthly thing now that life is a little busier for me. And with all that being said, let's get into some topics. And obviously, the last time I made an episode was May, so Joe Biden hadn't picked his running mate yet, but the big topic right now is that Joe Biden picked Kamala Harris as his running mate. And for anyone who listened to any of my previous episodes, you know that Kamala Harris has been my pick as Joe Biden's running mate since the very beginning. Ever since Kamala dropped out of the presidential race herself, I said that is who Joe Biden needs to pick. she will be the most beneficial to him as a running mate. So obviously I have my feelings about this, but most importantly, it is just obviously historic. Regardless of your political beliefs or what side of the aisle you're on, having a female of color on a national ticket is historic. And I'm sure there are going to be people who want to downplay that because they don't like the person, Kamala Harris. But again, regardless of that, regardless of your beliefs or which party you're affiliated with or how you feel about Kamala Harris specifically, it is a historic moment in our time. And I'm just so, I just feel so lucky to be living in a time where I got to experience our first black male president, and I got to experience our first female candidate for a major party in Hillary Clinton, and now I'm getting to experience the first female of color on a national ticket with Kamala Harris. So, regardless of your politics, the past few election cycles have been historic for many reasons, and I'm just lucky to live through them, and I'm just realizing that in the moment, because I think there are some people who might not even think about how historic this is, but it really is. This is something that's going to be in the history books, and, you know, we should take the time to at least acknowledge that. But now on to more specifics regarding Kamala Harris being Joe Biden's running mate. I do think that she was the smartest choice, and I think they're both moderate enough to appeal to the right, which you need to appeal to everyone if you want to be the president for everyone. But they're also progressive enough where the left will accept them. You know, I think Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are the perfect example of moderate Democrats. And I think maybe Kamala leans a little bit more to the left, than Joe Biden does. But I think they're both honestly perfectly in the middle, that the left will accept them and vote for them, and they'll also appeal to Republican voters, which is exactly what we needed. I think someone like Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders, those are two people that obviously strongly appeal to the progressive left, but Republicans are not going to vote for them. And then we have Joe Biden, who on his own is not appealing enough to the left that he might not get votes from the left if it were just him. But I think with the addition of Kamala Harris, Joe Biden has locked down at least a majority of the progressive left. Because it's no lie that for people on the left, Joe Biden was not their first choice. Kamala Harris might not have been their first choice. But I think having Kamala on the ticket is progressive enough that the far left is not going to vote for a third party candidate or write anyone in. But I also think, again, that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are moderate enough that they will get votes from Republicans who are just so tired. I don't know if you could hear that little bell dingle, but another life update real quick is that I got a cat. So if you hear a bell dingle in the background, that's my cat's collar. I don't know if you heard it, but she's moving around a little. But yes, I think Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are moderate enough that the Republicans who are just so tired of Donald Trump will vote for them. And I do think, and I don't want to speak too soon and I don't want to jinx anything, but I do think Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are going to win. I don't necessarily think Donald Trump will admit defeat. I think no matter the results of the 2020 election, Donald Trump might claim victory, and we'll deal with that problem when we get there. But as of right now, I do think Joe Biden's going to win. I hope I'm not being naive or blindsided, because I also thought Hillary Clinton was going to win in 2016, and we obviously all know how that turned out. But I just think that we're at a point right now where I just don't see who Donald Trump has left in his corner aside from his core base that he's always had. I think, and what I mean by that is, I think in 2016, Donald Trump had his core base, which he still has, but in addition to them, he had a lot of Republicans who are willing to give him a chance, or a lot of Republicans who voted for him because he was part of their party, and they were voting along party lines. I think in 2016, Donald Trump had that. I think now, in 2020, with, you know, a whole pandemic later that was handled very poorly by the Trump administration, with people, millions of Americans still out of work and millions of working people not making enough money to keep a roof over their head or feed their families, I think those people, I think those Republicans are not going to vote for Donald Trump. And, you know, people will debate all day whether or not Donald Trump handled the virus well. And again, regardless of your political party or your political beliefs, if you just look at the numbers and you look at how other countries are doing, Donald Trump did not handle the pandemic well. Too many people have died. Too many jobs have been lost. Everything is a mess right now. And no, Donald Trump is not responsible for the virus. Yes, it came from China. Yes, China lied about a lot. We should not trust them. We should not trust their numbers or their data or anything they tell us. That's all fair. But we cannot sit here and say that all of this is China's fault or all of this is somebody else's fault when the guy in charge of our country did not do enough to save lives. And I have had conversations with people both in real life and on Twitter that have said, well, most of the people who died were going to die anyway because they were in their 70s, 80s, you know, etc. I'm sorry, when did it ever become okay to let Americans die because you think they're old enough to go? And those are obviously coming from Trump supporters. And I don't even know what to say. It blows my mind. I'm not sitting here claiming to be a part of any particular party. I'm not even getting into my own personal political beliefs here. I just think if you look at the facts and you look what's happening around you... Hey, I'm so sorry. My cat is scratching my couch right now. If you just look around you and you look at how many people have died and you look at how many people have lost jobs and family members, you cannot look me in the face and say truthfully that Donald Trump has done a good job handling this virus. I don't care what your political beliefs are. You cannot tell me that this guy did a good job. And that is not a political statement. That is not, you know, revealing, you know, which side of the aisle I'm on. It's not me trying to defend Democrats, or it's not me trying to attack Republicans. Donald Trump, this specific human being, has done a terrible job protecting our country. And that's just the end of the story. I really am just in awe that people can still defend him when we literally have Americans dying every day. And we still have millions of Americans out of work. I mean, when he ran the first time, he claimed to be out there for the working people, and he was going to be the jobs president. And it's just, no one has a job, and a lot of people don't have family members anymore because Donald Trump did nothing to help prevent the spread of the virus. And yes, he did do a travel ban early on, I think in January, and that was good. I give him credit for that. That was a smart move. That did help. But he did not do enough. And anyone who wants to debate that, anyone who wants to look me in the face and say that Donald Trump did enough and that he's being a great president during a pandemic, I want you to actually look into the eyes of the people who have lost family members and tell them that Donald Trump has done a good job with this virus and see how they respond to you. Because it's easy to sit there and say that Donald Trump has done a good job when you've lost no one or have not lost your job or have not seen anyone near you get sick because of this. It's very easy to defend someone when it doesn't affect you personally. But I would love for Donald Trump's defenders in the regarding coronavirus to look into the eyes of family members who have lost people they love and tell them that Donald Trump has done a good job. And tell me how that goes. Now that I'm done with that rant, I do want to get back to Kamala Harris for a second. Because already people are attacking her like crazy. Tucker Carlson on Fox News refused to pronounce her name correctly and then claimed that he was not being allowed to criticize her because she's a woman. That's what he claimed, when the truth is he was purposely and rudely mispronouncing her name when all he had to do was fix it after being corrected. It's not that you can't criticize her. Any politician is fair game in terms of criticism. I'm all about criticizing politicians. But when someone corrects you on someone's name or what they want to be called and you refuse to fix it, that's verging on harassment. So that's just one example. I mean, Kamala's being attacked for many things. Another argument that I keep hearing about Kamala is that she's a cop. It's the Kamala the cop argument. She's not. She's not a cop. People need to stop saying that. Kamala Harris was marching in the streets for Black Lives Matter. Okay, Kamala Harris was not locking people up and getting a laugh out of it. That's the image that people want to put out there for Kamala Harris to drag her down. Let's not do that again. Let's not do to Kamala Harris and Joe Biden what we did to Hillary Clinton in 2016. Hillary Clinton was not my first choice for president. I did not like her that much. But I saw what Donald Trump would get us into, so I did vote for Hillary. I voted for her because I knew that my other option was worse. It really was I don't want to say it was the lesser of two evils, because I hate that argument. I hate when people say it was the lesser of two evils. Hillary Clinton was not the lesser of two evils. She was the clear better choice in 2016. And you just have to ask yourself, are you better off now than you were in 2016? The answer for almost everyone across the board is no. So obviously Hillary Clinton, regardless of whether you liked her or not, was the better choice for president then. And Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are the better choices for president and vice president now. So we cannot drag them through the mud for their past the way we did with Hillary Clinton in 2016, because we will end up with Donald Trump again. And once again, just to be clear, it's nothing against Republicans. It's not that I don't want a Republican to be president. I don't want Donald Trump to be president. I don't know if he's a Republican or a Democrat or independent. I don't know what Donald Trump is. All I know is that things are a mess in this country because of him. So we cannot handle another 4 years of him. No one wants to take another 4 years of him. I would take any Republican over Donald Trump. I would take any Democrat over Donald Trump. I just can't deal with Donald Trump anymore. And I think that's the point that a lot of people are at. And I think he's going to lose this election in a big way. But back to Kamala. We cannot try to destroy her the way that people tried to destroy Hillary Clinton in 2016. And the way they're trying to destroy her is by saying she's a cop who does not care for black people. First of all, Kamala Harris is half black. You cannot take that away from her. Regardless of her career, she is still a half black woman. She is going to relate more to who she is than what she does. okay? As a prosecutor, as a district attorney, she followed the laws, she followed the rules, she did her job. She has said on multiple occasions, it's very well documented, that she wanted to change the system from the inside. That is why she became a prosecutor, and that is why she went on to be a senator. She wanted to change the system from the inside because she could see that it was not working. She was not a cop, she's not against black people, and she's not locking people up for fun. That is false information that people are throwing out there to make her look bad. Okay? And back in, I'm not sure of the year, but Kamala Harris wrote a book called Smart on Crime. And in that book, she urged officials to abandon the tough on crime policies of the 1990s and early 2000s and instead favor a system of rehabilitation over punishment. That's a book she wrote. And then in 2005, as district attorney, she created the Back on Track program, which was, and this right now is a quote, a re-entry initiative aimed at reducing recidivism, that's a bit of a tongue twister, among low-level drug trafficking defendants. And less than 10% of the program members, of the people who were part of the Back on Track program, less than 10% became re-offenders later on. So it was a program that Kamala Harris created that had real, tangible results that helped people rehabilitate and get back into being a productive person in society as opposed to being locked in prison. But nobody wants to talk about that. All people want to say is that Kamala is a cop who hates black people. Not true. Don't fall for it. Okay? She has been working her entire career to transform and reimagine the justice system. And every politician, no matter which political party, is going to have stuff in their past that we do not like. There was a period of time where some parents did go to jail for not sending their kids to school in California. Again, Kamala Harris didn't directly send them to jail. She was not personally responsible for those parents ending up in jail, but she was the attorney general in California, and she did have control over that. So that's a fair argument against her. And I can understand that criticism, and we can debate that fairly. We can criticize her on that and debate that fairly. But what we cannot do is take her past and say that all she is a racist cop and use that against her now. Because a political evolution really is a thing, and a lot of politicians do it. I mean, Donald Trump was a Democrat, and then he was an independent, and now he's a Republican. So if you want to talk about evolution, then it needs to go both ways. Donald Trump evolved into the whatever he is now. Well, Kamala Harris has also evolved into a progressive Democrat. She has evolved. She was out there marching for Black Lives Matter. She was out there supporting gay rights and queer rights. You know, so I don't want to hear from the far left that Kamala is a cop who doesn't care about black people or gay people. And I don't want to hear from the right that, you know, evolution is just a lie and that, you know, she's phony Kamala, which Donald Trump has already tried to name her. Let's look at the facts. Let's look at her record, which is highly recorded, and debate the facts. But I'm not going to sit here and even have a conversation with you if you just want to throw around names at Kamala Harris based on tidbits of information you've heard from, you know, random people. That's not going to fly with me. Look up your facts, do your homework, and let's have a talk about what actually happened and about Kamala's evolution on policies as a politician. I will talk to you about that fairly any day, but I will not sit here and take the whole argument that she's a cop and, you know, maybe she's not the lesser of two evils. We're not doing that again. Donald Trump is the evil. And to get him out, we need to vote for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, regardless of your political party. If you are a Republican who is not happy with what's going on in this country, you need to vote for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. There is no other option. That's how dire this election is. I don't want you, I mean, everyone has the right to do whatever they want in this country. You can vote for whoever you want. You can write in people. That is your choice. But if you truly want Donald Trump gone, out of office, let me be clear. When I say gone, I mean out of office. If you truly want him out of office, then you need to vote for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. There's no discussion to it. And with that being said, even my cat's going crazy right now. That being said, I'm going to go get a drink. I'm going to calm my cat down. And I will be right back with a view update and with another installment of what John has been watching. I think that's what I called it. Again, it's been a few months. I don't really remember if that's what I called that segment, but I'm going to update you on what I've been watching, partly in quarantine and partly not in quarantine now that I'm back at work. So I'm going to take a quick break and I'll be right back. Hi everyone, welcome back. So here's a quick view update for all of my view fans. It was just announced that, it's not completely confirmed, but it was leaked and announced that Sarah Haynes is coming back to The View for season 24 as a co-host. And anyone who knows me or has listened to any of my podcasts about The View knows that I love Sarah Haynes. She's one of my favorite co-hosts of The View, and I'm so happy she's back. She left in 2018, and she was replaced by Abby Huntsman, who is no longer on the show anymore. And she left The View to do GMA Day with Michael Strahan, which then turned into GMA 3, Strahan and Sarah, which then turned into GMA 3, Strahan, Sarah, and Kiki. And that show has been canceled and has been replaced with GMA3, What You Need to Know, which is a more news-based show specifically right now about the pandemic. I mean, it's sad that that show didn't work out. I love Michael Strahan. I love Kiki Palmer. Obviously, I love Sarah Haynes. Fun fact, when the show, I guess I got Joe Biden on my mind still. When the show was still called GMA Day, I was actually a guest announcer on it. So maybe I was bad luck, who knows. But it's unfortunate that that show didn't work out. It was a fun show, but I'm very glad to have Sarah Haynes back at The View. I never wanted her to leave. It was, you know, the show felt a little darker without her because Sarah is kind of a ray of sunshine and she brought a calming, fun aspect to The View that's been missing for a while. So I'm glad she's coming back. When the show does come back in September, I'm not sure if Meghan McCain will be there because she is pregnant and her maternity leave is happening sometime around September or October. I'm not sure exactly because she doesn't talk about it too much. But I don't know if Meghan McCain will be on the show in September. And if she is, she won't be there very long because she's going on her maternity leave. So I'm anxious to see who is going to step in for her while she's away. I have a feeling it's going to be Elizabeth Hasselbeck, the original conservative on The View. And I have a feeling, if it is Elizabeth, that she's going to stick around after Meghan's maternity leave. And if Elizabeth does stick around, I don't know if Meghan will come back from maternity leave. And I would be okay with that. You know, the show does need a conservative. Meghan has filled that void, filled that spot, rather, pretty well for the past three seasons. I think three seasons she's been there. Maybe three, maybe four. But she's done a good job as the conservative on The View. She has gotten the attention and the ratings that the show needs. But just her personal attitude and just the way she talks to the other ladies, I'm just over it. You know, the show needs a conservative. They need to have different points of view. That's the point of the show. I think Elizabeth Hasselbeck filled that role perfectly, and I've missed her ever since she left. And if she does come back, I would love for her to reclaim her seat as the conservative on the show, because I'm done with Meghan's attitude. It has nothing to do with her politics and everything to do with just her bad attitude and the way she disrespects her co-hosts and the guests on the show. So here's to hoping that in season 24 of The View, not only does Sarah Haynes return, but also Elizabeth Hasselbeck. We will see. Now on to what I've been watching. Hey, the cat is scratching my couch again. And, you know, this is, I've had pets before, you know, just a little tangent. I've had pets before, but I've mostly had dogs. And this is my first personal pet because I, as I said, I got my own place and I'm living on my own for the first time. And so this is the first time I have a pet that is truly mine. And it's great. She's my companion. I love coming home and she's here. And she's actually a senior cat that I adopted because I think, you know, I'm an animal lover and I think animals should have a home no matter what age they are. So I adopted her about a week ago, 2 weeks ago now, actually. Time's flying by. And she is just a great cat. She doesn't bite anything. She doesn't really make a mess. She really just likes to cuddle and watch TV, and that's my kind of animal. But she is, you know, like any cat, she does scratch at the couch sometimes, and I'm not really a fan of that. And so that's why I have had to go on tangents twice now and talk about the cat, because I don't know what's going on lately, but she's really enjoying scratching at the couch that I just bought. But anyway, the shows I've been watching. A few weeks ago, maybe last week, I finished How to Get Away with Murder. I binged watched it, and it is one of the best shows on Netflix. Viola Davis, my goodness, she is one of the best actresses in Hollywood right now. And How to Get Away with Murder, if you like crime shows and mystery and suspense, you have to watch it. It is just so good. I don't have a single bad thing to say about How to Get Away with Murder. Every single episode ends with a cliffhanger for 6 seasons. Every episode's like that. It one of the best shows I've watched and highly recommend. Another show I watched was Love on the Spectrum, which is, it follows a few different people who are on the spectrum. Most of them have mild forms of autism, and it's just about their search for love. And it's a very cute show, and also, on a deeper level, I think it's nice for people who are on the spectrum to be able to see themselves on a Netflix show. Because it's hard, at least in my opinion, it's hard for people to not see themselves anywhere in media. So I think this show does a good job of, I think it does a good job of being inclusive and showing people who are on the spectrum in a realistic way. Because I think that people who are not on the spectrum have their ideas and their stereotypes about people who are. And because we don't get to see people on the spectrum in media a lot, or hardly ever, all we have to go off of are those stereotypes or the few interactions we've had with them in real life. So having a show dedicated to that, I think, did a very good job of giving them representation and showing them in a way that was relatable and just in a way that any other show about love would be presented. And so that one, it's called Love on the Spectrum on Netflix, and that is another show that I do recommend. Another show that has to do with love is that I watched is called Back With My Ex. Now this one, so Love on the Spectrum I thought was beautiful and did a good job of being inclusive and it was kind of a feel-good show. Back With My Ex made me a little angry because this show follows four different couples who have been broken up for different periods of time. One of the couples was apart for 28 years, another couple was apart for 4 years, and then this show is about them getting back together and seeing if it can work again. And just the, you know, the premise of it was interesting to me, because obviously there's going to be some drama, but also the premise of it is not very good for the people involved mentally. You know, it can't be easy or healthy to try to get back into a relationship that hurt you. And that was the case for most of the couples that were on the show. So it was an interesting show, and there was drama, and it was fun to watch, but just ethically, I don't know if I would recommend that show. But it is interesting, and I'm just throwing it out there. And then finally, I don't know if I've talked about it on my podcast before, but I'm a huge fan of Big Brother. I've missed the past few seasons just because, you know, I've been busy with life stuff. But this season of Big Brother is an All-Stars season, so of course I had to watch it. I am watching it. I'm behind, I will admit, because of how busy I am right now. I've only watched the first episode, but it really looks like it's going to be a good season. There are some good contestants on. I'm ready. I'm ready to expect the unexpected this summer with an All-Star season of Big Brother. And I would love it if anyone else who's listening to this, if you watch Big Brother, to reach out and give me your thoughts, because Big Brother, like The View, is one of those shows that I love talking about, especially because it's a weekly show and things are constantly happening, and it's one of those shows where the fans really feel like a community. And so if you watch Big Brother or if you watch The View, I'd love to talk to you about your opinions. And on that note, that's all I have for this episode of On With John. I will be making another episode maybe next month. There goes my cat's bell again. I'll be making another episode next month. You know, this podcast isn't over, but I just won't be doing it as frequently. I'll probably do an episode next month, or if something happens that I really want to talk about, I'll hop on here and do an episode. But until then, I'm done. So I will talk to you all next time.